Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Graeme Souness discuss Liverpool's missed opportunities in front of goal at Old Trafford once again. Will a lack of killer instinct cost Jurgen Klopp a Premier League title in this, his final season in English football? What about Manchester United? They've thrown away a lead three times in 8 days. Do Erik ten Hag's side just turn it on when they want? And the Old Firm finished 3-3 at Ibrox. Was the game a classic or a horror show between Rangers and Celtic? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Monday morning, Mr. Jordan, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
How was Viva España?
Yeah, it was okay. Weather wasn't great.
No.
It was okay.
No.
10 days trying to write this bloody book.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Am I in it? Is Graeme Souness in it?
Picture's good, isn't it?
The colouring pictures, yeah, for you. I've got some colouring pages for you.
Have you finished it?
No.
No.
No, but done a lot of work. Done a lot of work.
And is it coming out the way you... Is it materialising as you would
hope? We will see. We will see.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Graeme Souness, good morning.
Morning.
I noticed you had one of our members of staff go down and rescue you in reception as usual.
Yeah.
Did we forget our pass?
No, I didn't forget my... I've never been issued with a pass. But now, today...
Bus pass, probably.
I've been... No, I've got that.
Yeah.
I'm the senior citizen real pass. I've got everything. But today I was given a pass. So I'm now feeling part of the team.
Oh, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Fix that. The award-winning team.
Yeah.
Good, good. Well, you've come to the right place because we have a lot to get through this morning. What are you sniggering at? Did you enjoy your break, incidentally? When you get away for a few days, you get away from this, you can breathe more easily a bit.
Yeah.
You can do things for yourself between 10 and 1.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Darren McAntony was brilliant producer, Luke, wasn't he? Absolutely out of this world.
I think it's great. I think if you bring in an understudy... And you've set the pathway for them and you've laid the foundations for them. I think a business only runs when a person's not there.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if it can't run when you're not there, then it's not much of a business. So you give McAntony an opportunity to talk about whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Follows in my footsteps, and I'm pleased for him.
Well, he and Peterborough took their opportunity yesterday at Wembley because they won the EFL Trophy final in front of 42,000. I was there. Unlucky as far as Wickham were concerned. They got back into it right at the death. But then Peterborough won it. And we're going to hear from their director of football, Barry Fry, later on, who was extremely emotional at the end of that. But Graeme, I mean, so much football over the weekend. No doubt you took in the Old Firm. No doubt you were watching how Liverpool would get on at Old Trafford. So let's kick off with Liverpool. A late Salah penalty clawing United back to a 2-2 draw. Is it a good point or is it a bad point?
I think the way the game panned out, no, it's 2 points lost. Under normal circumstances, a point at United, I go back to when I played and we were the dominant team, we got anything there, it was deemed a good point. But I think the way the game was played yesterday, the chances that Liverpool had, they created chance after chance, they got to be putting the game to bed in the first half. should have been over at half-time.
Yeah.
And have let Man United back into the game. And credit to Man United who kept going like they did in the Cup game and got something out of the game. That never-say-die attitude, which you'd expect to exist when they play Liverpool. But, you know, Man United this year have been a major disappointment, I think, to the supporters.
I remember the same game at Anfield, Graham. And
0-0.
You said it 0-0, and you said it was fine margins.
Remind me, has anyone got the stats on that? Did Liverpool have something like 40 shots that day? I mean, it's the same story.
I think it was 33 shots. Kind of story this time as well.
They keep getting there. And you know, I've gone on record as saying this is a team that will win the league because they don't have to play well to win football matches. Well, the reverse is happening now.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing well, but they're not winning games that they should be winning.
Is there a killer instinct?
You can't say that. You know, they must still be near enough the top scorers, if not number one, second. I just think it's football, and you can never legislate for it. But I don't think Liverpool will be disappointed with the way they played yesterday and the chances they created. What they will be disappointed with is not taking at least two or three of those chances, because they weren't half chances, some of them. They're very good chances.
I mean, Simon, it beggars belief. 62 attempts on goal and two goals to show for it.
Mm.
I mean, from the two games, I mean, it really is quite remarkable. To me, that does have, I bow to Graham's superior knowledge,
about it.
But it does suggest a lack of killer instinct.
Yeah, surely. I mean, you would think that if you've had 62 attempts on goal, that you'd like to think that you'd maybe get one in 10, wouldn't you? You know, so you're getting six out of those opportunities. But I actually don't think Liverpool have been playing that well recently. I think they've been eking results out. Put aside the Europa League where they smashed Sparta. You look at the results in recent terms. I don't think they were great against Sheffield United midweek. I don't think they were great against Brighton. And I think they've been getting results. And this league, I think the fixtures that are flying out, that are coming so thick and fast, I think are having an effect on teams' performances, because it's a ridiculous performance United put in the last 10 minutes against Chelsea and then come back and bounce back and put in something vaguely resembling a credible performance against Liverpool because of the nature of the fixture. I think Arsenal are now really in the box seat. Mm. I do. Mm. I think they're in the groove, and I think they could go on, with the exception of the Spurs game, potentially, because I think that might be the banana skin, and win all their games.
What? Yeah, simply they win all the games to win the league. Liverpool were that until Sunday. And it could change again, as you said.
Seven games to go.
I can remember when I was an apprentice at Spurs being at White Hart Lane and Arsenal were going there. It was the year they did the double. And I think, you know, there was whatever in the stadium, whatever was 50,000 in the stadium, they reckon there was about 150,000 outside in Tottenham High Road. It was an unbelievable night.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal did the business that night.
Well, Arsenal lead the way on 71 points. Superior goal difference to Liverpool, and then Manchester City, of course, in third. And Klopp said afterwards, it's going to go right down to the wire.
Game on. We are in the middle of it, so that's how it is. So I know. We had that years ago. We said, if it's too nervy for you, go and travel somewhere where you have no television, no radio, no internet, nothing, and then come back in 6-7 weeks. But being in it is actually the best position ever. So, and it's not only for us that it's difficult. It is for the others difficult as well. So, and they have to play important games. We have to play important games. And United against Liverpool is a special game. So, like for them especially, which makes it more tricky for us in a week, 1.5 weeks or whatever, we play against Everton. They don't play against each team like they play against us. So that's ours. But for that, Arsenal Tottenham is somehow. Whatever, and these kind of things. So that's all clear. I would have loved to win today, but I take the point. Let me keep going.
I mean, Graham, it is game on. Seven games to go. How many of those seven will the eventual league winner win?
I don't know. I haven't got a crystal ball, but what you can be guaranteed, you know, Jurgen alluded to it there. And Liverpool don't play any easy games. You know, when the fixtures come out, or whenever it is in June time, you know, the other teams look at when they play Man United, when they play Liverpool, now Man City. Arsenal have crept into that group again. You know, so they don't. It's a cup final every week for them. But that is the price in the ticket if you play for one of the big football clubs. You've got to deal with it. And I listened to Jurgen and his interview after the game, and what he said is 100% correct. And I'm glad he said it. It was basically along the lines, if you win the league, you deserve to win it. You know, when I was a player at Liverpool, that was the thing to win. It wasn't about a glamorous night in one of the big cities in Europe at the end of May playing in a European Cup final. That wasn't the priority for them. it was winning the league. They felt that said more about you as an individual and what and how you've dealt with your personal issues throughout the hard 9 months and collectively as a team. That was a priority.
I'm looking at the messages coming in. Liverpool fans not happy, though. There is Judge, a Liverpool fan. We know you, Judge. We have an absolute mental block at Old Trafford. It's frustrating. Once again, looked like a team who thought we've just got to turn up and beat them. And it never works out like that at Manchester United.
Did they not smash United a couple of years ago? 5 at Old Trafford.
Well, I mean, maybe they did go, but like yesterday...
It's football. Football is... And that's why we love it, and that's why it's so fascinating at times. You know, you can dominate the ball, dominate the chances, and still get beat, as Liverpool did a couple of weeks ago in the FA Cup.
I mean, as an ex-Liverpool captain who won the European Cup 3 times, do they give you confidence they're about to win this again?
I've tipped them all along. I think yesterday's an almighty blow, but they've got to get back on the horse immediately. And they've got to, it's now no longer in their hands. Prior to yesterday, you're thinking they're going to do this because I really fancied them yesterday and fancied them to win well yesterday. It didn't happen, but who's to say that, you know, Man City have a... Tell me if I'm right here. Man City, I'm looking at the fixtures that were put up on the screen after the game yesterday. Man City have got to squeeze a game in somewhere, haven't they? It's yet to be announced.
They've
all got the same games, yeah. But they've got a game for some reason enough to squeeze
in. The interesting thing which might play is see how these European fixtures play out for them. Because obviously Arsenal have got Bayern.
Right.
And City have got Madrid. Liverpool have got Atalanta in a lesser competition, but notwithstanding that, you'd expect them to come past it. Whereas the Arsenal game is a pick 'em game.
And well, what's the... Well,
my feeling is that depending, I think it could affect the direction of travel. If Arsenal get knocked out against Bayern, it might cement their resolve. It might take away their resolve. The same for City. If City were to get done by Madrid in the Champions League, obviously City are nailed on, done this before, walked this walk before, know what it feels like. Arsenal slightly different. So I think these are factors come into play. But City have got the best fixtures.
Players respond. I don't see that being a factor.
Sure they do.
I think big players... You know, the part that
big players in your day and age are different to big players in this day and age. I understand what your point is, which the cream of the crop always rises, but there is also not quite the same fortitude and resilience in players as there once was when you played.
I think there was a guy going back to prior to my time at Liverpool as a player, they'd lost to Man U in a cup final, and the following that was a Saturday on the Wednesday, they went to Roma and won the European Cup for the first time, yeah.
There's Ron in Plimpton. I'm not sure, Ron, if you're in here, you say this to his face. You can tell that Souness is on this morning. Liverpool this, Liverpool that. If it was any other team, he'd be slaughtering them. They didn't win that game yesterday. Ron,
I was asked a question. I didn't bring up Liverpool, Jim did.
So where does it go now? 7 games to go. How many of those 7 will the eventual league winner win? And how much of a missed opportunity, if it indeed was that, how much of a missed opportunity was it for Liverpool in this title race?
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Good morning, everybody. Monday morning, Monday, April the 8th. The returning Mr. Simon Jordan alongside me and Graeme Souness this morning. Many messages coming in, not least about the Old Firm game. Rangers and Celtic played out a chaotic 3-3 Old Firm clash. I was at Wembley and I was like, what? 2-0 Celtic? What? 2-2? What? 3-2 Celtic? 3-3? I was thinking, what in heck's name is going on up there? Goals and defensive calamities. I mean, was it a thriller? Was it a horror show? We'll look at that very shortly. As I say, the EFL Trophy. Former Peterborough goalkeeper David Seaman was there, but of course David very keen to talk Arsenal, and I was keen to talk Arsenal with him. So Arsenal lead the way in the Premier League, and I spoke to the Arsenal legend Mr. Seaman, and I said to him, so the Premier League title, is it game on for Arsenal?
I was thinking that before, Jim. You know, when they went to Man City earlier on, a week ago, I was more confident than I've ever been of them going to Man City. You know, after last season when we got showed a lesson. But this season's different. This team is a lot more developed. It's a lot more confident. You know, and like to go to Man City and get a draw, but like play the way that we wanted, not be dictated to. It shows that there's something special about this team, and I think we've got a great chance.
I mean, I know so many people saying they choked.
Yeah.
Is there any likelihood of them choking?
No, because they'll take that experience from last season and use that as motivation for this season. Now they know what it's going to feel like. They didn't know what it was going to feel like last season. Last season, that was a little ahead of schedule, if you know what I mean. But this season, we're ready for it. We've experienced that. And obviously, we don't want that again. We've added great players to the squad and to the team. So everything's great for this running, but there's two other giants in there as well, you know. So it's, you know, when it's just two of you, if one of you has an off day, then it's good, but you're going to get two of them having an off day. So you just got to make sure you win your games. And the way that we're playing at the moment, I can see us doing that. You know, we've got tough games going to Manchester United, obviously Tottenham. We've got Villa at home. So it's not over yet, but it's getting closer.
I know what your heart says. Be truthful with me. What does your head say?
No, my head says we've got a great chance. You know, I'll never say, yeah, we are going to win it, because you don't know. You know, I've been in this situation before where we haven't done it. You know, and I've been in it when we have done it. You know, so it's about having a little bit of luck, a lot of belief, but don't settle for a draw. Just go for the win every time. And then who knows where it'll take us.
Well, David Seaman is right, Graham. You look at it, 11 games in 2024, 10 wins and one draw. And that was against City. I mean, are the Arsenal bottlers transformed? It seems they are.
They've been fabulous. I mean, fabulous all year. That's why they're in the league. They've got the bit between their teeth. You know, the manager last year would have been majorly disappointed and had question marks in his head about some of his players. But I think they've answered them this year so far. I mean, unless they have a catastrophic again. You know, they are the real deal. They look like a proper team. No getting away from it.
And Graham's right, Simon. You look at 11 games, 2024, 10 wins, 1 draw, 38 scored, 4 goals conceded.
Yeah. No, they've been... You would like to think, if you go and spend £250 million in the transfer window, that you're going to give yourself an opportunity to improve on last year's fare. I think it's undeniable that they choked last season. Whether we want to use choked or bottled or fell at the final hurdle or dropped at the last furlong or whatever terminology we want to use, Arsenal snatched defeat from the victory from the jaws, whatever way around. You know what I mean? Defeat,
I know where you're going.
And I think Arsenal are a better side as a result of it.
But it's not about how you spend your money, though, Simon.
Of course,
Chelsea have spent a fortune. Look at what they've got. Arsenal have spent a lot of money, but look at where they've got to.
Of course. And, you know, if you'd have asked questions about Kai Havertz 6 months ago, people would have been saying, like I'm saying, I have said repeatedly, it looks like a tax write-off, for Christ's sake. How bad you got to be to spend £65 million? Now he looks like a player that's scoring a few goals. I would have expected Arsenal to have stayed. I said they'll spend £250 million to stay where they are, and they'll do well to stay where they are. And they've spent £250 million, and they've improved. Now, I don't know whether that's because Man City aren't quite the dominant force that they were a year ago, or it's really because Arsenal have been so impressive. I think it's probably a combination of the two, but they can win this league.
I can't say that the Premier League's the best league and then start to question that's, you know, the team that's won the top of the league and the team that's maybe going to win the league is not the real deal. I mean, that for me, they've been fabulous. I mean, they really have. I mean, they've surprised me. I thought they would have, you know, a couple of hiccups along the way, but...
Well, they didn't. They had hiccups over December when they changed the style of play.
Fabulous, and that's why they sit at the top of the league. Simple
and
as.
And they do sit at the top of the league. So, I mean, the destiny of the thing is in their hands, Graham.
That's where you want to be. That's where Liverpool were until the game yesterday. That's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's not
But look
pressure.
At the dominance. I mean, the reason why I make the point is that City's points totals over recent seasons, this will be a lower points total that wins the Premier League. So that tells you that either the top sides come off or there's a congregating of the best sides. I personally think this Premier League this year is remarkable.
It's been fabulous.
You've got three teams chasing the Premier League title. You've got four or five teams chasing European spots. And you've got six or seven teams trying to avoid relegation. That means that virtually every game has some form of jeopardy in it. And you can't ask for more from the league.
Yeah, yeah. Arsenal fans must be beginning to believe now. Surely. If you weren't before, you must be now. Are you not? Because it's in your own hand. And the way Arsenal are playing, they go out there and they win. It's as simple as that. They win. 11 games in 2024, 10 wins, 1 draw. And that was against Manchester City. There's Chris Graham. I mean, Arsenal didn't choke last year. They lost twice in a fortnight to City. Win one of those and they'd won the league. So, I mean, it's coming down to fine margins now.
But it's always fine. I come back to what I said 5 minutes ago. If you win the league... It's not by accident. It means you've dealt with the problems that come along in that hard 9 months. It means that players who maybe doubt themselves at difficult times, they've dealt with that better than others. If you win the league, if you win our league, you are the real deal. You have been so consistent because, you know, if you get yourself out in front, it's such a challenge. The British people, we don't roll over. I've worked abroad and I've been manager of big teams abroad. And when they play certain games... It's like the other team's not really believing they can beat you and end up being easy game. There's no easy games here. This is a tough, tough league.
Yeah.
The British mentality is, they think they're the big guys in town, do they? You know, they're the big dog in town. We'll see today. And that's what makes our league so special.
And then the flip side of that, you see Arsenal go and put six past West Ham, five past Palace and six past Sheffield United. So there are games in this league where that does happen. No, and what I was saying
Arsenal
was,
been fabulous.
If you're comparing and contrasting, in of course, over the course of a season, be the captain of state and the bleeding obvious. If you win the league, you're the best team in the league. We all get
no,
that.
No. You're missing the point because you've never been there. Let me explain how it works.
Let me finish and you can contradict me. I'm talking about where the teams are, not in this season, but in previous times. So we look at Man City. My question
So when Arsenal or Liverpool or City win it this year, they're not really worthy winners.
No, I didn't say that.
They've not got the same amount of points.
No, that's you taking it in a different direction. It's me saying, has there been a massive increase in Arsenal's performances? Has there been a decrease in Manchester City's? Are Man City quite as good a side as they were a year or 2 years ago? And all of these contributing factors produce an outcome that enables Arsenal to win the league. It's not deriding Arsenal. It's not denigrating the achievements. It's just framing it in a different way to the way that you are. Follow that?
No, I think you're talking absolute nonsense.
You might do.
The best
because it doesn't concur with your view because you want an echo chamber. Just have a mirror of yourself. And
no,
talk
the
to yourself.
Best team wins the league, Simon.
I didn't say that.
The best team has dealt with the problems that have come along in a hard and difficult 9 months. The manager's dealt with the problems better than the guy who finishes second.
No one's
so if you win the Premier League, the point
because,
I want to make,
in that season,
nonsense,
you're the best team.
Out, the point I want to make. Our league is the most difficult league to win. I look at the German league right now, it's the intensity isn't there. I look at the Italian league right now, don't have the quality they normally have. There's no other league really counts. Our league is by far the most difficult one to win, and anyone who wins it deserves a big gold clock, in my opinion, because I know how difficult it is. It is a difficult league to win because the pressure's on you all the time. And when you get yourself out in front, you know, you it does keep you awake at night. You got to keep your focus and say you concede an early goal against someone. You got to keep your focus, keep doing the things that have got you there, and you don't take extra touches. You still keep doing the things, the simple things that have got you to the top of the league. It's a difficult league to win, and whoever wins it, I would not be. I'd only want to pat them on the back. It's a hard league to win.
Yeah.
Because it's so competitive.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
The Premier League title race. And it's a three-way race with Arsenal, Liverpool and Manchester City. But Arsenal have it in their own hands. And now when you think of it, they've got to go to Tottenham. Yeah. They've got Villa. All right. They've got United. But City have come and gone. And so too at Liverpool. Can Arsenal grab it now and win it? 03717-223-344. Lee is a big Arsenal fan. Good morning to you, Lee. Where's your head with us now?
Hi, Jim. I spoke to you a little while ago when Danny Murphy and Simon were in there. And
right.
I said about maybe the double. But, yeah, when they play Brighton at the weekend, no one's beat Brighton at home since August. And Gabriel, when they got that clean sheet, the fight and the belief of when they got that clean sheet. Jurgen Klopp said yesterday, if Man United play like they did yesterday, Arsenal will beat them. Even Jurgen Klopp said that. I can't see Tottenham beating us. I can't see many people getting through our defence. You know, I can't really see them doing it. The team is just... The passion they've got at the minute is just so good. Their belief, their strength. You know, they just want it more and more this season.
Yeah.
And like when Emil Smith Rowe come on, he got two assists. He hasn't even played this season. He got two assists for the goals. Thomas Partey, he was absolutely brilliant. Like Jorginho, he got the assist. He ran all the way up the pitch. You never normally see him up there for that goal at Brighton.
So Lee, am I right? Is there a newfound confidence amongst Arsenal fans that you'll do it?
It's just the belief, I think. Like, you know, we're going to, like, Bayern Munich. I mean, the only person we've really got to worry about is Harry Kane. But is Harry Kane going to get through our defence with Gabriel and William Saliba? Is he really going to get through them?
Wow, Arsenal can do no wrong, Lee. All right, listen, Lee, thank you for that. Brimming with confidence. Are you, Kevin, big Arsenal fan? Are you the same? Do you think it's there to be won and you can do it?
Absolutely, Jim. Morning, everyone.
Morning, Kevin.
Yeah, so similar to the last caller, it's really, you know, it is, you know, very close at the top three and it's hard to call. But if you look at form now, I think that Arsenal are showing championship winning form. They're up there and they're playing every game. They're going out in a hard test and they're winning. They're doing it.
Right.
One after the other. It's just happening now. And I just think that's the difference between us and the City.
And is this the best you've felt, Kevin? Is this the most positive you've felt?
Yeah, for about 20 years, I think. It's still nervous. Every game's a nervous and test, and we've got some really tough tests coming up. I just think the form now is Premier League winning title form. And I think Liverpool didn't show that yesterday. And I think City, particularly in the game against us, where they would usually like go over us and, you know, wash us away.
Yeah.
They didn't do it this time.
Okay, Kevin, listen, thank you for that. Arsenal fans queuing up to talk to us, Graham. Here's Steve. Steve, what do you want to say? And then we'll have a say back. On you go.
I think that what we've done from last season is that we've learned from last season. This, had we had this squad last season, we would have been champions last year. I think that we, last season, we found ourselves in a position rather than it was expected. I mean, you say that we bottled it, but then we had the chance to win it, but so did so many other clubs, but none of those ever get mentioned. I think we're in a fantastic position. And I'm just reiterating what the other callers have said. I think that it's there to be won. Probably City are still favourites with the bookies. They don't often get things wrong on that there. Yeah, I think we're definitely in with a shout. And I'm actually thinking that we've probably got more chance of the Champions League than what we have the Premier League. But we're in box position. It is in our own hands. And let's see what we've learned from last season. Without last season, we wouldn't have been in this position now. We've learnt, and we've actually, some of the memories of how we collapsed last year with the injuries and everything is what's really motivating this team to go forward.
What a great call, Steve. Steve, listen, thank you for that. I mean, he's showing that in adversity, you can learn, you can move on and get yourself to a better place, Graham.
Yeah, that's life, not just football. Learn from your mistakes. I mean, no doubt about it, Arsenal will be richer and better for the experience of last year, as hard as it was to take at the time. Arsenal have the momentum with them. They have great belief. You know, so does City. And Liverpool have to get back into the game immediately. And it's impossible to look at what fixtures are left and say, well, that's going to be an easier one than that one. Someone could get sent off. Someone, you know, could referee make some bad decisions on the day. Anything can happen in football. So you'd be a brave man to say that it was seven games to go, who's going to win the league? But they're all believing. You know, it's a normal reaction for Liverpool supporters to feel that, oh, we've blown it. I don't see it like that. It's still very much game on. For City, they've got that inner belief because they are the current champions and have won it the last 3 years. So they've got a tremendous belief about them. And right now, Arsenal have that belief and you can hear that from their supporters.
Do you think the fixtures, I mean, I think it's probably undoubtable that Arsenal have got the most difficult run in. If you look at the games that they've got left, they've got to play in amongst the seven. They've got to play Villa, Chelsea, Spurs and United. Whereas Liverpool have got to play Villa and Spurs. I'm not suggesting that Wolverhampton Wanderers and Fulham and Everton are not games that are going to be challenging, but on paper you'd expect them to win. And then City have got Spurs amongst their group of players.
Arsenal have been good in the league though, Simon, against the big guns. They haven't lost to City or Liverpool.
I'm asking Graham, does he think that playing the bigger sides are going to make it?
I can tell you, the pros don't see it like that.
That's what I'm asking you.
They don't see it like that. They'll look as far as the next game, and that's how you have to approach it. And, you know, the lesser games you think on paper can turn out to be the most difficult ones. So you treat each game as it comes along and it's boring and you'll hear every pro say it. The next game is the only game that matters. The next one is the important one. And then after that, let's see where we are. And then after that, next one, let's see where we are. The next game is the priority.
Yeah.
Don't be looking, you know, you could be out of it by the time Arsenal go to Spurs. They could have lost a couple of games. Just the next game has to be taken care of.
I mean, typically there are those out there who want to see Arsenal mess up again. There's Jason and Brian. It's going to be hilarious when Arsenal crash again. At the moment, I can't see where the crash is going to happen, Simon.
Well, look, I mean, you have circumstances that can unfold. They could get knocked out of the Champions League by Bayern and they could reel away from that. They could lose a key player. Saka could get played a lot of games. He could get injured. Declan Rice could get injured and they could lose some balance. I don't think I don't think that will happen, but you know, you can price those into your thinking. Listen, Arsenal fans are happy because they've listened to people repeatedly say that their side bottled it last year. And they didn't lose the league because they lost to City twice in a fortnight. It wasn't a fortnight. The point is they lost it because they dropped points in games like West Ham and Southampton and other teams that they shouldn't have dropped points in. That's why people accuse them of bottling it. And it's a fair assessment. So now Arsenal fans are seeing a side that's at it and on it and across it. They weren't great against Porto in the Champions League. They got through that, huffed and puffed their way through that. So they can be stopped. They can be made to look like a side that can't just cut through anything, because Porto did that to them.
None of the guys who are involved in this, out of three teams, would be happy if you said, well, if you lose a game, say in the Champions League or in Liverpool's case against Atlanta, that would impact them going forward. I would hate that to be said about me. The players I played with not have accepted that. I think what is a bigger worry, you get hamstring, you get injuries,
yeah,
to key men. That's a bigger thing.
Yeah.
Not that you lose a game, you don't. Big players bounce back immediately.
Yeah.
They hate that feeling of losing. So that, they go to bed, it keeps them awake, they wake up, they want to play the next day.
I know you've got your Liverpool hat on, but I'll still ask you, is Arsenal winning it the best story of the lot? Of the three of them,
it's not about a story. The team that wins it deserves to win it. End off. There's no luck involved in winning the league.
But breaking the duopoly.
No, I'm not interested in it. There's no, Liverpool won it once in the last, I don't know, 30 years 30, or something.
Yeah.
So, there's no better story for me. I know how difficult it is to win the league. You win the league, you deserve it. It's not because you've been luckier than anyone else. You've been better than them over a difficult 9 months.
I'll put it out there. I mean, I don't know what you think, Simon. I think it might be flat if City win it. Anyone who's not a Manchester City fan will think, oh, City again.
Well, it'll feed the underlying narrative that you've got a monopoly on the Premier League, and is that a good thing? It's interesting you talk about big players, because I would suggest to you, how many of those Arsenal players are big players? Big players are ones that you became a big player by winning things. They haven't won anything yet. So when you talk about and you scoff at the idea that they won't they won't fall at the narrative, they won't fall...
Any player wouldn't accept... You lose a game, it impacts you going forward.
I'm not saying that it would, but psychological impact isn't something you embrace. Sometimes it's something that happens.
I'll never get fed up talking about it, because I've been part of dressing rooms. I was lucky enough to have that at Glasgow Rangers when I was a manager. But I've been part of a dressing room where it was all the senior players were the catalysts. They carried the lesser lights to the difficult moments.
Because they'd won things previously.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
Who did that at Rangers? Butcher and you?
Oh, I had Mark Haitley, I had Goffey, I had Ray Wilkins, I had Butcher.
Mm.
I had some serious men that there was no job for the manager to do when they were there. They sorted it.
Yeah.
And I'd bet I've missed someone out of that, because I had some proper men.
Proper men. That's what we need. That's seemingly what Arsenal have got.
I got you cancelled.
And Arsenal at the
moment... Oh, yeah, can you say men anymore?
No, you can't.
Proper heart. I give up. I'm off.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It is Monday morning. Everybody's having their say in the Premier League title race. There's no name in this message. Arsenal fans never learn. Already talking like they've won it already. And now Jim wants them to win it. Well, I don't know if I want them to win it or not. It would be a phenomenal story if Arsenal do it. Of course it would be a great story. Whoever this message sender is finishes off with, United will derail Arsenal. Simple as
I
that.
I want Arsenal to win.
I think it's a great story, Simon.
I want some proper levelling up.
We've never mentioned City so far.
Yes.
We've not mentioned City. They ain't going anywhere.
No.
City ain't going anywhere.
Well, I mean, Pep and City would argue, don't worry about us. We are still in there.
They'll be happy we're not talking about them.
Off the back of yesterday, Rangers and Celtic, a point apiece. Celtic remain top of the table, 1 point clear, but Rangers still have a game in hand. So there's some way to go down here, but there's some way to go up there in Scotland as well. 3-3, it was chaos. But was it a thriller or was it a horror? Philippe Clement of Rangers and Brendan Rodgers spoke post-match on where the title race is now.
We continue now, and that's a really big step forward with a few months ago. We never stop if the scenario goes not our way. We never stop believing and going full to get the scenario our side. So that's a thing you need in a team of real winners. That's what we've been talking about a lot last couple of months. I want to see real winners, and winners never give up. And that is all dressing room show today. So it's a very important victory.
Of course, we come in to win the game. That's what we want to do. But when I see how we play today and knowing that in a few weeks' time we're going to be even better, some of the guys getting more fitness and the guys that are coming back. And for us, really, we have still a job to do in the other games, but we play Rangers at home. And with our own back and our own crowd and play to our level and our football, then we're pleased with today, and hopefully then we can use that going forward.
So, Graham, 3-3... You know this fixture inside out. Who's it a better point for?
I think at the end of the game, you're talking on the bigger picture, that we'll see what happens. But at the end of the game, I think Rangers would have felt better about the result. You know, for Celtic, they've scored after 25, 26 seconds, so they got off to a flyer. They were fabulous in that first half. They could have won it in the first half, but they didn't. And then for Rangers to claw themselves back into the game, and then them to score, Celtic to score a third goal, you know, with minutes to go, a couple of minutes to go, their thing is job done. And then Matondo steps in and scores a wonder goal at the end of it. So I think at the end of it, I think Rangers would have felt better about it. Celtic would have seen it as a game they should have won. Rangers have clawed themselves back into it, making a very poor start, got themselves back into it in the second half, where they played very well in the second half. But still found themselves down 3-2 with a couple of minutes to go. But getting a draw out of that game, the feel good factor would have been better in the Rangers dressing room.
Were you surprised by Rangers' first half performance?
Well, I think you know, when you look at football, there's generally a reason for it. I think in those games you have to start right. In any game you have to start right. That's the last thing you'd hear a manager stroke coach saying to the players as they go out the door for the match: make sure we start right, especially in that game, because the crowd are so up for it. To concede a goal in the first 25 seconds doesn't have to put a dent. It makes you wonder. So that's what they managed to do.
Yeah.
So I would put it down to that. I think they showed great character, Rangers, to come back. And I, as I've said already, I think the momentum is still with Rangers.
I see a number of Celtic fans saying, do you guys not agree the Rangers' resurgence began with cheating? Would Graham have been brandishing his blue card at Fabio Silva? So, I mean, it seemed to be a real climb down from referee John Beaton on Fabio Silva's decision. He originally claimed it was a dive. He booked Silva before VAR asked him to consult the screen, which saw him scrap the card and give a penalty. Was it a penalty?
100%. 100%. I'll tell
Chris
you.
Chris Sutton said on co-commentary it was embarrassing.
I've got a question for you. Silva is a diver. He is a diver and he's embarrassing himself. So it's now out there. I'm sure they're talking about it in Scotland. But that was a penalty. The defender cut him across his knees with his dangling foot. It's a penalty. It's brought him down. And Chris Sutton, I'm reluctant to go strong on Chris Sutton because he turned up at a charity event 2 weeks from me. And we chatted together. He's funny. He's funny. He did a bit for me. And I'd thank him again for that dinner in Glasgow that you've been to for the Deborah charity. But I can't believe how biased Chris is when he's talking about Rangers. And here's a question I've got for you.
Maybe it's the same about you.
It was like he was saying, it's embarrassing. It's not a penalty. It was a penalty. It was easily a penalty. It's not even a discussion to have for me, that. And I'm wondering, this is a question I've got for you. Was, do VAR listen to the commentary during a game? Because I'm thinking Chris is going that strong here. He's trying to influence whoever's listening, maybe in the VAR. Is VAR for Scotland's different? It's not Stockley Park, is it?
No.
They've got their own VAR up there.
Yeah.
Can you answer this? Do the VAR referees listen to the commentary?
I thought Chris has gone that mad on this.
He's trying to influence someone in VAR who's listening
to this. John Beaton didn't think it was a penalty at the time.
But he had a chance to look at it a second time. I come back to your man, Silva. He's causing a problem for himself. He won't get penalties in the future. He won't get fouls in the future because of his theatrics. But that was definitely, in my opinion, 100% a penalty.
It's interesting Graham's takeaway from his impartial and unbiased vantage point, because of the way the game has unfolded, that was a decent result for Rangers when they haven't laid a glove on Celtic this season. Celtic have beaten them twice and drawn once. So if Rangers had won this game, they would probably have won the league, because they would have been then 2 points away from Celtic with a game in hand. So it'd be interesting to see. I mean, Philip Clavant came out afterwards and they spoke very strong about his team, and I like him. I liked him. Obviously, you were in the Lampard camp and now you're sort of laying your hat on Philip Clavant. But it's interesting, the characterisation. You're taking the microcosm of the game and saying, yeah, I get it, because Rangers got out of jail and had the fortitude to come back even though Celtic had scored early and late. But before the game, you've been beaten twice by them this season. Mm. And you've got an opportunity to put clear daylight between you. That is going to be disappointing for Rangers. That will be a disappointing outcome, because like Brendan Rodgers pulled off. At the last minute, he pulled away from what he was about to say. He said, the next time we play him, we'll be at Parkhead, but with our fans behind us. And he was just about to say something else, and he thought, no, actually, I'll leave that one in the ether.
Well, I was at the last
because he thinks he can beat them quite easily at Parkhead.
I was at the last game at Parkhead. And Rangers lost 2-1 and should have got something from the game.
But they didn't.
It was a similar story. First half, all Celtic. Rangers got a player sent off, and they got back into the game. So there's several inaccuracies, which is quite normal for you on a Monday morning.
No, Graham, they've lost. They haven't laid a glove on Celtic this season.
We were talking about the game, a 90-minute game yesterday.
Yeah.
And who would feel better?
And I characterised it that way by saying it's an interesting analysis. Yes.
Well, that's my analysis. I was asked who would feel better.
You're in the Celtic fans again with Simon. Thank goodness Simon's back. A bit of sense applies here. Thank you.
Who would feel better? We have got Rangers' number, says you. Who would feel better after the game yesterday?
In the moment, that's what the question was. No, in the moment, Graham.
I think that was a question you asked me.
Well,
Who will feel better about it? And I gave what I believe to be correct, having been a player, only person in the room who's been a player in the dressing room, having those feelings.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
absolutely.
Rangers will feel better about the result yesterday than Celtic. Celtic would see it as a chance to win the game and they blew it.
But that again, I characterise it that way. So, you know, clear ears out and listen to what I said. Your characterisation of that game was in that moment, but I'm looking at Rangers and going, this isn't about that game, this is about winning the league.
I would agree with you. They've not beat Celtic, and they don't. Well, they've got a chance.
And they don't.
They've still got a chance to do that, Graham.
They don't.
They don't what?
They don't beat Celtic.
They don't beat Celtic.
They haven't beat Celtic this year, no.
Right. The Celtic fan, we have got Rangers' number. It seems they have.
Anyone, like we're talking about the English Premier League, like talking about the Celtic Rangers situation in Scotland, it's all to play for. Who's to say that game at Parkhead isn't a decider? Football is such a business. The minute you hang your hat and say, this is going to happen, this is definitely going to happen, it doesn't happen.
Okay,
many possibilities. No, you're not putting anything out there. You're not understanding me, or you're choosing not to listen to me. You can't get a crystal ball out and say this is definitely going to happen. The game at Parkhead might be incidental, might be Celtic may have won it by then. Rangers might have dropped a couple of games, and it might be the other way around.
Who's at a better point for?
I've answered it.
But that's why we'll put it out this morning. Is it a better point for Rangers? Is it a better point for Celtic? We'll put it out to the people who really matter.
Can I clear something up as well, my colleague? Said that I chose Frank. Let me tell you how the process worked. I'm going to tell you what happened.
You told us how it happened.
No, you don't listen.
I do.
Which is quite normal on a Monday morning. I was part of the process of hiring a new manager.
Choosing a new manager.
It's down to these two. You make your mind up.
You can clear it up after the break.
You preferred Frank.
Was it Lampard? Was it Clement? Well, Clement got the gig and he's a man in charge. Who's it a better point for? 3-3. Is it for Rangers? Is it for Celtic?
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.